And it's also time to think about theater. It is Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and boy, do we have some theater to think about, to encounter, and to enjoy. A little bit later, we'll spend time with Stage Left and their Fast and Furious production. But first, to Lenny Bart of Spokane Civic Theater. Good morning, Lenny.
Good morning, Vern.
And you got this gig probably about a year ago. You were in the throes of applying for the gig as the artistic director of Civic Theater. And I assume when you do that, you vet an organization pretty carefully and you see what they're doing, what they have scheduled, what they're about to do. So what was your reaction when you saw that they had scheduled Little Night Music?
Well, I was excited to see that that was one of the shows on the slate, but I was doubly excited when that was the TBD for the director, because then I thought, that's my piece. Mm-hmm. Rarely do we have an opportunity to work on such a fabulous piece of theater that really has incredible music, a fabulous book, and a story that just touches us in many different ways of humor and pathos. And for me, what I think is almost always one of the greatest things, it's ultimately an incredible love story. And so the romantic in me just loves the opportunity to take something as chewy and rip into it and you know, just find it and make it work. And I think one of the greatest things for me is I had the great fortune of having some incredibly talented people come in and audition for this.
Well, that's what Little Night Music's going to do, or Sondheim in general, but that in particular, isn't it? All kinds of people have been sitting home for 10 years salivating, hoping to be able to do it.
Absolutely. And we had an incredible amount of people audition. We certainly could have cast the show a couple of times over. Mm-hmm. And it's always sad when you have to say no to some people who you know would be wonderful. And yet, we're just so extremely pleased with the cast that we have, and I'm feeling very excited where we're at right now as we inch towards opening, so it's a good time.
The peripheral virtue of that is you've now gotten to hear a real range of the talent of your newfound city, haven't you?
Yes, I also like to go to other theaters as well and see what they're doing and support all of the arts in Spokane. And, you know, now we've had a couple of other shows, you know, Vanya, Sonia, Kobe and Doe, which is still running. you know, that's got an incredible cast. We've got an original show coming up and some high-powered performers in there. So I'm just so pleased with the community and the level of talent we have. You know, we may call ourselves a community theater, but we certainly have professional production values and professional performers on our stage.
Probably the last thing we should ever do about it with a Sondheim musical is oversimplify it. So let's quickly oversimplify it and do what we shouldn't do. And how do you describe to somebody who's never encountered it, what is A Little Night Music?
Well, A Little Night Music is, first off, I think one of the things that is important is the musical convention that Sondheim has incorporated in doing every song in basically 3/4 time or a variation on that. Mm-hmm. And I think that leads a very strong sense of what the piece should be about. Grace, movement, elan. And so I think there's a beauty to the piece that we want to make sure comes out. And really, it's about love triangles and the choices we make in our lives and the ability to stop, evaluate, and think about these choices and perhaps improve your life for the better. In the end, ultimately finding true love. And it's wonderful because there are a number of characters, particularly the male characters, who I think are weak, in some ways morally bankrupt. And yet at the end of the play, through their journey, they find themselves. They find the man who they should be or who they always want to be. And the women who are steadfast and, you know, they are supporting their men through trials and tribulations, they end up finding the true person for them as well. And so that's what I love about this piece is it has a wonderful wrap-up and conclusion.
Lenny Bart on Little Night Music, which opens this Friday and runs through the 5th of March. And so we have two men standing by, Patrick McHenry Crutch and Jim Svoboda. And the song, It Would Have Been Wonderful, where does that fit into what you just described?
Well, this is a moment where these two men are both in love with Desiree. One who has a younger wife who can't see that he's truly her soulmate, and the other who uses her almost as a sort of bragging rights that he has, the famous Desiree Armfeld as his paramour. And so these gentlemen now are at the Armfeld mansion, and one is invited, one is uninvited, and they're confronting their own internal thoughts as to why this woman has some hold onto them. So even though they're on stage together and they're interacting, they're really in their own minds trying to ask themselves, what is it about this woman that has such control?
It Would Have Been Wonderful. In our studio with Jim Svoboda, Patrick McHenry Crutch, and Henry McNulty, the pianist.
I should never have gone to the theater. Then I'd never have come to the country. If I'd never have come to the country, matters might have stayed as they were.
Sir,
sir. If she'd only been faded, if she'd only been fat, if she'd only been jaded and bursting with chat, if she'd only been perfectly awful, it would have been wonderful. If she'd been all a twitter or elusively cold, if she'd only been bitter or better, look passively old, if she'd been covered with glitter or even been covered with mold, it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection to my deepest dismay. Well, not quite perfection, I'm sorry to say. If the woman were perfection, she would go away, and that would be wonderful. Sir?
Sir?
If she'd only looked flustered or admitted the worst, if she'd only had blustered or simpered or cursed, if she weren't so awfully perfect, it would have been wonderful. If she tried to be clever, if she started to flinch, if she cried or whatever a woman would do in a pinch, if I'd been certain she never again could be trusted an inch, it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection, not an action denied, the kind of perfection I cannot abide. If the woman were perfection, she'd have simply lied, which would have been wonderful. If she'd only been vicious, if she'd acted abused, or a bit too delicious, or even slightly confused, if she had only been sulky, or bristly, or bulky, or bruised,
it would have been wonderful.
If she'd only been willful,
if she only had fled,
or a little less skillful,
insulted, insisted, in bed,
if she had only been fearful,
or married,
or tearful, or dead,
it would have been wonderful. But the woman was perfection, and the prospects are grim. That lovely perfection that nothing can dim. Yes, the woman was perfection, so I'm here with him.
Sir,
sir. it would have been wonderful.
It would have been wonderful from the show, which is opening on Friday at Spokane Civic Theater, Stephen Sondheim's A Little Night Music. We were just hearing it done by Patrick McHenry Crutch and Jim Svoboda, the two of them in that. A little later, we'll hear from Abby Crawford as she'll be singing. Lenny Bart, who's the director. And so here come the two singers. And so figure out some microphone heights. I actually want to get all three singers in on this discussion. Well,
you get your own.
The famous discussion of the challenge, which is the nice word for it.
With Sondheim music?
Of doing Sondheim, vocally getting the words out, making it happen, making it work for the listener. Some of you probably spent a lot of years thinking about this, so jump in onto that question.
I think this is one of his more lovely pieces. A lot of his pieces are very dark. This one doesn't necessarily have the darkness to it that some of his other shows do, but it has the famous question about the human condition. What is love? Do I deserve love? Where do I find love? And with his, he has so many beautiful pieces within the show, but my big piece is probably one of the simpler pieces, but it's so deep. He's given up the challenge of the music, but he's given you the challenge of how deep and emotional the song itself is. But he has both sides of it. The guys have way more difficult stuff than I do. And the Liederhosen, who are like the Greek chorus and tell the story, their stuff is beautiful and glorious and very, very difficult. But he loves to make it difficult. I can't really decide whether he loves vocalists or whether he hates them, but at some point I think it's a love-hate relationship with Sondheim. We love to sing the stuff that he likes to throw at us.
Yeah, okay, the gentleman.
We're chuckling because you said the Liederhosen.
Liederhosen, yeah.
I did not.
I'm the nickname king in the world.
Oh, my God.
And so the Liebeslieder singers, which are love song singers, and I give them the nickname of the Liederhosen.
I didn't even realize. I was like, why are you guys laughing?
Oh, that's so funny.
The quintet.
Yeah, the Liebes.
Liebeslieder.
Yeah.
Liederhosen sounds better.
Yeah, physically, Jim Svoboda.
Physically demanding Sondheim is. I mean, not only do you have to have amazing breath support, it's incredibly. You have to have a rubber face to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, your mouth is moving as fast as humanly possible. I guess that's what the description says on some of the music. It's insanely intricate and tricky to not only speak the words precisely, but then find a little spot to breathe. It's amazing that way. Don't what you
but
say?
Yeah. They say the same thing about Bach.
Oh yes.
It was funny. I was thinking about it this morning because, like, I think it was 20. This is Patrick McHenry Crutch. 25 years ago, we did West Side Story at the Civic, and I was just starting, and I was cast as Tony. I was too stupid to know that it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know, so I just sang it. And it's funny now that I know more and have more experience, this is really difficult. It's like it is really, really difficult stuff.
I equate Sondheim's music to Shakespeare in terms of Shakespeare was a genius of manipulating the language and really creating modern language. But more importantly, when he would break up the meter, there was a reason for it. And you can find interesting, weird holds, weird sharps or flats, and there's a reason for them. And I think, like in Shakespeare, when you have to really dig deep and figure out what it means, you have to do this in the music. And as you do that, you understand it, I think, on a deeper level because you've really analyzed what's going on. We're fortunate to have Henry McNulty as our music director, as you
Absolutely.
Heard playing out there. And he was really good at getting us to think and talk and find and discover. And then to have such talented people to realize that, it's just...
Well, and Henry said himself that he loves this, probably one of his favorite shows ever, because the music in it is so beautiful. There are moments where you can get lost inside what he's created. And then if you look at the set and the costume and everything that goes along with it, it just, it ends up being such a decadent piece of work that you think, oh my God, where did he come up with all of this? But it's based on... Ingmar Bergman, you know, so he created something beautiful out of something beautiful, but this is even more decadent. If that makes sense, that was a lot of words, but there you go.
But that's okay. Sondheim's a lot of words.
It is.
And in a way, that is the thing, because then there's always something new to think about. When you were mentioning the appeal of the music, and you've talked very glowingly about the people who auditioned for it. I think you also got the attention of the musical community because you have an awfully nice group of people that are going to be in the pit playing the orchestra for it.
Amazing.
Yeah, we have a 12-person pit, which for us is a pretty good size. Mm-hmm. And it's full, rich, and as I said, really my descriptive word of this piece is lush. The music is lush, the costumes are lush, the lighting is lush. Patrick's a bit of a lush.
No. That's good.
has this play been around long enough that there have been different approaches, or is there controversial approaches of how to do this, or is there kind of one right down the middle of the road way to perform Little Night Music?
Well, it had its premiere in, I think, 73, perhaps 74, and there have been a couple of large revivals on it, both in New York and in London. And it's interesting, you know, because when we were we actually had early auditions because of the complexity of the music. I wanted to make sure that the cast had this sort of holiday break to familiarize themselves with it. And we had recommended people listening to the original recording, and yet there were two songs that were written for people that were cast in it. And they weren't really singers, per se. And it was almost, you know, a Henry Higgin rendition of those songs. And it was kind of odd to hear that. And yet, the revival with Catherine Zeta-Jones, I didn't like at all musically. I thought that they were missing the beauty of the piece. So to answer your question, I would say I don't think there is real a definitive except for the clear stage directions that they don't want things to lag. And it's very cinematic in terms of it's set in so many different locations that it becomes a challenge to how do you create that as they so want it seamlessly. And I think we've found with a really wonderful set design by David Baker a way to make it move and flow comfortably while letting us traipse all over the different locales that the script asks for.
In beautiful costumes.
and alluded to about that is the famous hit song and the famous reason that it was written. So Abby Crawford, come in on how you're approaching the Send in the Clowns.
For me, knowing full well that Send in the Clowns is one of the best-known songs of all time, it's been covered so many times, mostly by singers, but when it was written, the first person to sing it was Glennis Johns, who really was not a singer at all. But I've watched a couple of masterclasses from Sondheim himself about the song, and I had never sung it until about the last year or so because I realized I was old enough to sing it now to understand what it was and what was going on with it. And when I saw that this show was happening, I thought, oh my God, this would be my opportunity. So to sing the song out of context is an amazing and beautiful thing. It's almost a perfect song in my humble opinion, which I know is not necessarily humble, but I'm okay with that. But to sing this song in context, in the costumes, on the stage, with everything around me as it's supposed to be, my first thought was, well, I'm not going to talk the song as they have done in the past. I'm going to sing the crap out of this song. And I love it so much. It's one of my favorite moments on stage every single night. And the fact that I get to do it for the next month on stage every night is it's a dream come true, mm-hmm. I suppose. And Desiree is very... she's very much like me in many ways. She's an aging actress who is a single mother who really just wants to, and this part I separate myself from a little bit. She wants to find that love that she's always separated herself from. And this song is perfect because she thinks that she's found it. And then at the last moment, it's being taken away from her, but not by her choice. So it's interesting to see how she puts her trust in other people and they take it away. And then at the end, everything all ends up beautiful the way it's supposed to. But in that moment, it's such an emotional, gut-wrenching thing. And that's something that I can really dig into. It's happened before in my life. And I'm not saying like, oh, poor me. But at least I have something to dig into to take with me because it's such an emotional moment. And I think that people really can listen to the song and really put themselves in the place of the song too, which is, I mean, that's the beauty of Sondheim. He's so good at the human condition, plain and simple.
Well, let's ask you to go and sing it for us.
Twist my arm, okay.
Yeah. Abby Crawford, who is just describing the issue of all the issues around singing the song Send in the Clowns, joined by the pianist Henry McNulty, who is the music director for this show, which opens on Friday night. Let's go to our studio for this song. From the studio, we were just hearing Abby Crawford doing, yes, Send in the Clowns from Little Night Music, joined by pianist Henry McNulty. Earlier, we were hearing the duet with Patrick McHenry Crutch and Jim Svoboda, and then Lenny Bart, who is the director of this. And this opens this Friday, runs this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, then Sunday afternoon, and then it's the Thursday through Sunday sequence through March 5th.